Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi, I'm Oakley. Today, I'm going to tell you my story. But before I continue, please like, share, and subscribe to hear more stories like this. It all started 3 years ago when I was working as an administrative assistant at Vertex Solutions, a mid-sized tech company in Seattle. I was barely making ends meet with my entry-level salary, but I was determined to work my way up. "Oakley, can you bring these reports to Mr. Harrington's office?" my supervisor, Vanessa, asked one morning. "Sure thing. Anything specific I should tell him?" I replied, gathering the stack of papers. "Just drop them off. Trust me, you don't want to engage with him unless absolutely necessary," she warned, lowering her voice. "Is he that bad?" "Let's just say there's a reason we call him Hurricane Harrington behind his back. He's destroyed more careers than I can count." I nodded and headed toward the executive floor. That was my first mistake, not heeding her warning. When I arrived, Mr. Harrington's assistant, Becca, wasn't at her desk. "She's out sick today," a passing employee informed me. "Just leave the reports on her desk." Instead, I knocked on Mr. Harrington's door, wanting to make a good impression. "Enter!" came a sharp voice. I walked in to find Maxwell Harrington, CEO of Vertex Solutions, glaring at his computer screen. "Mr. Harrington, I have the quarterly reports you requested," I said, trying to keep my voice steady. He looked up, his steel-gray eyes scanning me from head to toe. "And you are?" "Oakley Jensen, sir, administrative assistant in marketing." "Well, Oakley Jensen from marketing. Don't just stand there. Bring them here." As I approached his desk, he suddenly asked, "Are you Porter's new hire?" "No, sir. I've been here for 8 months." He scoffed. "8 months and still an assistant? Not very ambitious, are you?" The comment stung, but I maintained my composure. "Actually, I'm taking night classes in digital marketing. I hope to move up eventually." "Hope doesn't get you anywhere in business," he said dismissively.
"Results do. That's why I'm sitting here and you're, well, delivering my papers."
I placed the reports on his desk and turned to leave when he added,
"By the way, tell Porter his team's numbers are garbage. If they don't improve by next quarter, I'll be making changes."
"I'll pass that along," I replied, though Porter wasn't even my department head. That encounter left a bad taste in my mouth, but it was just the beginning. 2 weeks later, Vanessa approached my desk, looking uncomfortable. "Oakley, Mr. Harrington has requested you personally handle some administrative tasks for him this week. Becca's still dealing with some health issues."
"Me? Why me?"
"He specifically asked for that Jensen girl. I'm sorry, but we can't exactly say no to the CEO. What followed was the week from hell. Nothing I did was right. He criticized my filing system, complained about my coffee-making skills, and made snide remarks about my bargain bin wardrobe. "Do you actually own anything that doesn't look like it came from a thrift store?" he asked one afternoon. "Not all of us can afford designer labels, Mr. Harrington," I replied before thinking. He raised an eyebrow. "Maybe that's why not all of us become CEOs." The final straw came when he called me into his office on Friday afternoon. "Jensen, I need you to work this weekend. The board presentation needs to be redone." "This weekend? I'm sorry, Mr. Harrington, but I have plans I can't change."
"More important than your job?" he challenged.
"It's my mother's birthday. She's coming from out of town."
"Listen," he said, leaning forward. "There are 100 people who would kill for your position. If you want to keep it, you'll do as I ask."
"Sir, I've worked late every day this week. I've rescheduled my classes twice. I really can't or won't? Because from where I'm sitting, it seems like you just don't have what it takes. Maybe this job isn't for you after all." I felt my chest tighten. "Are you firing me?" "That depends on whether you show up tomorrow. 9 a.m. sharp."
I left his office in tears, only to find Vanessa waiting for me. "Let me guess," she said, steering me toward the break room. "He threatened your job?" I nodded, wiping my eyes. "That's his MO," she explained. "He picks someone new every few months, makes their life miserable, then either fires them or drives them to quit. Then he brings in someone he knows, usually for a higher salary." "That's horrible. Why doesn't anyone stop him?" "Board doesn't care as long as profits are up. HR is in his pocket, and most people are too afraid to speak up." "Well, I'm not," I declared. "I'm filing a complaint." Vanessa grabbed my arm. "Don't. Miranda in accounting tried that last year. Not only was she fired, but Harrington made sure she couldn't get hired anywhere else in the industry. He's vindictive, Oakley." I went home that night, feeling defeated. My roommate, Zoe, listened to my story over cheap wine and takeout. "What a complete jerk," she exclaimed. "You should quit." "I can't afford to. Do you know how hard it was to find this job?" "So what are you going to do?" "I guess I'm working tomorrow," I sighed. "Wait," Zoe said, refilling our glasses. "What if you had actual proof of his behavior? Something concrete you could take to the board or even the media?" "Like what? It's not like I can record our conversations." "No, but what about texts? Emails? If he's as much of a jerk in writing as he is in person, that could be something." That night, I couldn't sleep. I kept thinking about Zoe's suggestion. Then I remembered. Becca had given me Mr. Harrington's personal cell number for emergencies. The next morning, I arrived at 9 as ordered. Mr. Harrington was already there, coffee in hand. "Ah, Jensen, I see you made the right choice." "Did I have one?" I muttered. "Excuse me?" "Nothing. What do you need me to do with the presentation?" For the next several hours, I worked silently while he periodically came in to criticize my progress. By mid-afternoon, I was mentally exhausted. "I'm going to get lunch," he announced. "Have slides 15 through 30 redone by the time I get back." Once he left, I pulled out my phone. I had a plan. "Zoe? It's me. Listen, I need a huge favor." An hour later, my phone buzzed with a message from Zoe. "All set. Good luck." When Mr. Harrington returned, I waited until he was engrossed in a call before making my move. I texted his personal number, thinking it would reach him. "Mr. Harrington, it's Oakley. I'm not feeling well and need to leave early." To my horror, his phone immediately rang on his desk. I'd completely forgotten he had left it there. I quickly sent another text. "Sorry, wrong number. This was meant for my supervisor." Too late. He picked up his phone, read the messages, and glared at me. "Jensen, what is the meaning of this? I'm sorry, you thought you could lie to get out of work? Pathetic." That's when my phone rang. It was a number I didn't recognize. I answered, putting it on speaker deliberately. "Hello, is this Oakley Jensen?" a woman's voice asked. "Yes, this is she." "This is Nurse Williams from Seattle General. I'm calling about your newborn baby." Mr. Harrington's eyes widened. "I'm sorry, what?" I asked, feigning confusion. "Your baby, the one you delivered this morning? We have some paperwork issues. The father is listed as Maxwell Harrington, but he hasn't signed any of the forms." Mr. Harrington lunged for the phone. "This is Maxwell Harrington. There must be some mistake. I don't have a child with this woman. Sir, according to our records, Miss Jensen listed you as the father of her baby girl, born at 5:17 this morning." "That's impossible. We've never... Sir, we need you to come down to the hospital to either confirm paternity or contest it officially. Otherwise, your name will remain on the birth certificate." "This is outrageous," he shouted. "I'll sue your hospital. I'll sue you." He turned to me, face red with fury. "And you, you're fired. Get out." I gathered my things calmly while he continued ranting into the phone. As soon as I was out of his office, I texted Zoe. Phase one complete. The next day, I received a formal termination letter citing dishonesty and inappropriate conduct. But I was ready. I met with Zoe and her cousin Maya, who worked at the local news station. "You got everything?" Maya asked. every single interaction documented, I confirmed, handing over a folder. Plus statements from three other former employees who he treated the same way. What about the hospital call? Zoe asked. I grinned. My friend Lindsay from college is a nurse now. She was very happy to help after I told her what kind of man Harrington is. The story broke a week later. CEO's reign of terror. Employees speak out against toxic leadership. The article detailed Harrington's pattern of harassment, discrimination, and creating a hostile work environment. The company's stock took a hit. Former employees came forward with their own stories. The board called an emergency meeting. 2 days later, my phone rang. Is this Oakley Jensen? A formal voice asked. Speaking. This is Theodore Miller, chairman of the board at Vertex Solutions. I'd like to discuss your recent allegations against Mr. Harrington. They're not allegations, Mr. Miller. They're facts, and I have documentation to prove it. Yes, well, the board would like to meet with you, to hear your side directly. The meeting was set for the following day. I arrived with Zoe's cousin Maya, who was now covering the story exclusively, and a lawyer friend of hers. Before we begin, the lawyer said, we want to be clear that Miss Jensen is prepared to take this matter to court if necessary. Mr. Miller cleared his throat. That won't be necessary. The board has reviewed the evidence and spoken with other employees. We've decided to place Mr. Harrington on administrative leave pending a full investigation. Administrative leave? I echoed. That's your solution? For now, yes. We take these allegations, facts, I corrected, these issues very seriously, but we must follow due process. I stood up. Due process would have been having proper channels for employees to report abuse without fear of retaliation. Due process would have been HR doing their job instead of covering for him. Miss Jensen. No, you listen. I'm not the only one he's hurt. Miranda Bailey lost her career. Tom Wilkins lost his health insurance right when his wife was diagnosed with cancer. Denise Park had a panic attack so severe she was hospitalized. All because of your precious CEO. The room fell silent. What exactly do you want? Mr. Miller finally asked. I want him gone. Permanently. I want compensation for everyone he's harmed. And I want structural changes to ensure this never happens again. 3 weeks later, Vertex Solutions announced Maxwell Harrington's resignation to pursue other opportunities. The press release failed to mention the generous severance package he received. But the story wasn't over. 6 months after Harrington's departure, I received a call from an unknown number. Oakley, this is Maxwell Harrington. My blood ran cold. How did you get this number? That doesn't matter. Listen, I've had time to reflect on what happened and I want to apologize. I almost laughed. Apologize? You think an apology makes up for what you did? I was under a lot of pressure. The board, the shareholders. Save it. Your pressure doesn't excuse how you treated people. I'm a changed man, Oakley. I've been in therapy, working on my issues. I realize now how my behavior affected others. Good for you, is that all? Actually, no. I'm starting a new company and I could use someone with your tenacity. The salary would be substantial. Now I did laugh. You're offering me a job? After everything? It would be a fresh start for both of us. Mr. Harrington, I wouldn't work for you if you were the last employer on Earth. Goodbye. I hung up, feeling lighter than I had in months. 2 weeks later, the news broke. Harrington's new venture had lost its primary investor after a thorough background check revealed concerns about leadership. His name was becoming toxic in the industry. Meanwhile, I had moved on. The settlement from Vertex allowed me to finish my degree. And I was now working at a smaller company with a female CEO who valued work-life balance and treated employees with respect. One morning, about 9 months after everything went down, I was having coffee with Miranda, the accountant who had previously tried to report Harrington. I can't believe how much has changed, she said, stirring her latte. A year ago, I was blacklisted. Now I'm heading the finance department at Tricor. You deserved that position all along. I told her. Harrington never should have interfered with your career. Miranda smiled. Did you hear about his latest disaster? No, What happened? His ex-wife's lawyer found offshore accounts he'd been hiding during the divorce proceedings. Apparently, he was skimming from his previous ventures, too. The SEC is investigating him now. Seriously? How did you hear about that? Tom Wilkins' wife works for the law firm handling the case. Small world, huh? I shook my head in amazement. Karma really is making her rounds. Speaking of rounds, Miranda said, how's the support group going? We're up to 27 members now. Not just Harrington's victims. People from all over dealing with workplace bullies. We meet every Tuesday. That's incredible, Oakley. You've turned something horrible into something that helps people. Later that week, I received an email from a journalist writing a book about toxic corporate culture. She wanted to feature my story. Your experience could help others recognize the warning signs, she explained during our call, and show them they don't have to stay silent. That's exactly why I started speaking out, I replied, to show others they're not alone. Occasionally, I would hear updates about Harrington through industry gossip. His wife filed for divorce. His country club membership was revoked after an incident with a waiter. His remaining investors pulled out when they discovered he'd been hiding his history. The final news came almost a year after our confrontation. Harrington had filed for personal bankruptcy. His mansion was foreclosed, his cars repossessed, and his reputation in tatters. Karma, Zoe said when I showed her the article. Justice, I corrected, for everyone he hurt along the way. As for me, I created a support network for workplace harassment survivors, using my story to help others find their voice. Every time someone stands up to a bully in power, I feel like we've won another small victory. So that's my story. Not the one Harrington thought I'd have, the poor girl who got fired and disappeared, but the one I wrote for myself instead. And now I have a question for you. If you could confront someone who hurt you without consequences, what would you say to them? Share your thoughts in the comments below.